thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah 32, the last verse. In Isaiah 32, it'll be verse 20. And I'm amazed again of how much New Testament doctrine is contained in the book of Isaiah. It is absolutely amazing to me. And here's another example of that. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20. Before I read this, everybody remembers the parable of the sower, right? Parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the seed, you know. And we know from that story that sowing seed is a Bible illustration or example of spreading the word, right? Preaching the gospel, spreading the word, sowing the seed. And isn't it amazing that even that imagery, even that figure of speech, you know, rather than saying preach the word, it uses the example of sowing seed. You know, sowing seed. Isn't it amazing that, even that picture of sowing seed being the gospel, preaching the gospel and spreading the word, that even that picture is throughout the Bible. It's not just in the gospels. It's right here in the book of Isaiah. I appreciate what Jake said in his prayer. Life is short. And yet, you're eternal. I'm so thankful Jake said that. God is eternal. And by the way, eternal life is eternal too. You know, did you know eternal life's eternal? In other words, there's no such thing as you having eternal life and then not having it. Listen to the prophet Isaiah with his New Testament doctrine. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Are you thinking, spread the word? Sow the seed. You thinking that? Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. That send, blessed are ye, that send forth thither. Now the word thither, we would say there. That would be our modern term. So apparently somebody, okay, so there's somebody sowing some seed beside all waters. And there's somebody sending there, sending forth to that same place the feet of the ox and the ass. Now, the ox and the ass there are laborers, workers. So apparently, somebody is sowing some seed beside some waters. Are you listening? Somebody is sending forth laborers in this work. Now, in the Bible, an ox is a picture of the gospel minister. I do not understand why the ass is there, except that they were both laboring animals. I don't understand. That's all I know about it. But I want us to think about this, because what this is talking about, this is a verse that is talking about outreach. It's talking about evangelism. Right here in the book of Isaiah. Well, I thought that was just a New Testament doctrine. Nope. Now, y'all, we had the preacher's meeting, and I thank you for your labor and everything, your support, everything. I thank you for everything. And the theme of the preacher's meeting was a renewed vision for the church. A renewed vision. Not that we need a new vision. We don't need a new vision. We need to get back to the vision of Christ and the apostles. Can you say amen to that? That's the vision we've always needed. And to the degree that we've departed that vision, we need to get back to it. I think you agree with that. Well, part of that vision, part of that renewed vision, I hope, will be a renewed commitment to evangelism and spreading the word. It says here, by all waters. That's I'm getting ahead of myself here for sure. I don't know. My mind's, anyway, I was helping John and Brandy move, and he and I were talking about this, you know, this verse. You know, it says, so blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. He said, that's more than just beside your own little pond. Amen. Sow beside all waters. So, here's what I think this means. Any church, point removed, must be reaching out to others as we have opportunity. We must be reaching out. You may remember that when the Lord sent the original 12 out, the first 12 apostles, there were others later, but they sent the first 12 out. He said, told them, don't go to the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep. Remember? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Evangelism, outreach, is directed to lost sheep. Are you with me? Not dead alien sinners, lost sheep. And may I say, there are so many of God's sheep, born again children of God, I'm talking about sheep, God's sheep, that are lost. Would you agree with that? And boy, I could spend a lot of time. I mean, my mind just, in fact, that's one burden I have for the youth, is so many children of God among the youth get lost. They have so many pressures upon them that it's just ridiculous. Craziness. I want you to understand, evangelism is getting the word out as God gives us opportunity to the lost sheep of the house of spiritual Israel. And everybody, I hope, understands, spiritual Israel in the scripture is all of God's family. All of God's saved children. All of God's heaven-bound souls. Are you with me? Many of whom are lost to gospel truth. They may, y'all listen, they may have wandered off, right? Did you know God's children wander off? Did you know sheep do that? That's why, you know, when God calls us sheep, it's not really a compliment. Sheep are kind of dumb. Kind of dumb. They're easily led astray, easily misled. You got to watch them like a hawk. That's why they got to have a shepherd looking over them. Are you with me? Thank God we have one. Christ is the great shepherd. So many of God's children are lost. They're lost to gospel truth. They may have wandered off. They may have been led astray. Many of them are lost to gospel truth. Many of them are lost to godly, moral, ethical principles by which to live their lives. Would you say amen? another thing that just breaks my heart is how many of God's children are lost to the principles by which you can have a happy and successful marriage. Would you agree with that? A lot of God's children are lost to that. And to put it in a nutshell, here it is. Are you listening? It's unselfishness. That's it in a nutshell. How great a blessing is it to have someone else to look after? I'm telling you now. I tell Becky all the time, I love John Wayne. You all know I love John Wayne. I tell her all the time, well, you're a lot of trouble, baby sister. Which is true. I know I'm a lot of trouble, too. That's what Chris is thinking right now. Chris, well, Gary Harvey, you're a lot of trouble, too. I know it. I only say that. It's true, she's a lot of trouble. She's worth every bit of it. Are you with me? She's worth more trouble. Are you with me? I mean, it's such a great joy to have, are you with me? Instead of thinking that all I should be worried about is whether she's looking after me, like I think I should be looking after. Are you with me? Oh, the principles that can help you and help me have a godly marriage. So many people are lost to it. Aren't they? And this is not even hardly to mention, the fact that so many of God's children are lost to theological truth about how God saves His people from their sins. Aren't they? How many of God's children still are believing that eternal heaven is dependent upon what we do? And they carry that uncarryable burden. They try to carry that burden that no man could carry except Christ. You do not have to carry that burden. Christ has already carried it for you. Are you with me? So many of God's children are lost to that, aren't they? Well, so blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. That sounds to me like, well, I'm not a farmer. Brother Harold is a farmer. He's really good at it. And I have laughed at him for years. We have enjoyed laughing together about how thick he plants corn. It's like that. You know the why he does that? You know why he sows more corn? And now he may not sow it. That may not be, but I'm using the word sow loosely there. He may not sow it. I guess he doesn't sow it. He plants it. But why? How come he puts more seed out there? Get a better return. Gonna have more crop. Are you listening? I'm ashamed of myself because when John Staton said we need to have a website, I said, piffle. Piffle. What good will that do? Well, I was wrong about that. That's a way to sow the seed beside some waters. Are you with me? That's a way to sow some seed. I think the preacher's meeting was the way to sow some seed. But anyway, okay, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Here's the upshot of what I'm saying about all of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, all these children of God. The gospel's not going to be any good for someone who's not born again. We understand that. But the gospel is good for people that are born again. It is the thing that will save them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, it's for everybody. As I've said to you before, the gospel, I love the fact that the gospel is one size fits all. I love that. The gospel is for the youngest child of God in the congregation. Even if it's a babe in arms, are you with me? The gospel is for that child of God. Don't tell me the gospel won't have an effect on a baby that's born of God. Don't you try to tell me that. I know better biblically. I know the gospel can have an effect on a born-again child of God that's still in his mother's womb, John the Baptist. And the gospel's for all the children of God up to the very oldest one. And by the way, it's the same gospel. Sow the seed. Not a bunch of different seeds, sow the seed. It's the same gospel. I love that. It is a fallacy to think that you've got to have separate gospels for all these separate groups of people. You with me? Do you think that God might be smart enough to give us the gospel that is for everybody? Is that possible? Or do I need to do something different? Now, you say, well, Brother Gary, you just said you want to preach to the youth. That's exactly right. But I'm not going to preach anything new to youth. It's going to be the exact same gospel, the exact same principles directed to them. Are you with me? One size fits all. I'm crazy about that, aren't you? Sow the seed. All right. So many of God's children are out there. I say, we should have a strong desire as a local body that they would share in the faith once delivered to the saints. And the blessings and comforts and strengths that they would get from sharing in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's what the world needs now. It's what the world has always needed. Isn't that right? Not a new... And by the way, you know, we know from either Galatians or Philippians, I can't remember which one, that there's only one gospel. I know there's only one. Do I claim that I know it all? I would never claim that. I'm a nervous wreck all the time about it. But I know there's only one, and that's the one I want, okay? That's the one I want, whether I even, in my heart of hearts, want it, even if my flesh doesn't want it. Are you with me? That's the one I want. It's the one we need to spread. It's the seed we need to sow. The same story. And do not tell me. Well, I guess people can try to say, well, the gospel's irrelevant. The Bible's irrelevant. It doesn't have anything to do with the world we live in. That is malarkey. It's just as relevant today as it was when it was drying in ink. I shouldn't have said malarkey. Well, I'm trying to be polite. I want you to know the gospel, the seed we're supposed to sow, is just as relevant today as it was in the first century A.D. In fact, I'm not sure about what. As our society and culture degenerates till where it's about the same as the first century Roman, then maybe it's more relevant than ever. Can you say amen to that? I'm not sure about what. We need it more now than we've ever needed it. America may need it more now than we've ever needed it. I'm not sure about what. That's true. As America continues to degenerate and depart from God, we don't need a new vision. We need a renewed vision. Amen. The same vision that's always. We need to renew it. So I think we should have our heart's desire and prayer, like Paul, his heart's desire and prayer to God for his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ among the Jews was that they might be saved by the gospel. I think we should have the same desire for God's children. In other words, when we see John Q, little child of God out there, and they're lost. Everybody in here understands what I mean, right? We see John Q, child of God, out there, and they're lost, and they're entangled, and they're in a mess. What should our attitude be to them? Should we look down our noses at them? Should we there, but by the grace of God go I. And I would to God that I could help you, John Q. Child of God. Okay. Blessed are they that sow beside all waters. Not just our own little pond. As John Staten said. Isn't that something? Okay. So, we should want those children of God to have, and y'all, I'm going to get, I realize you can't fix everybody. You can't help everybody. I know that. I'm going to get to that if the Lord will help me. But we should have a desire for them to have the same peace that we have in our hearts. Amen? I cannot imagine the blessing of being delivered from the uncarryable burden of thinking that I've got to save other people for heaven, or I've got to do thus and so, or they're going to burn in hell. I cannot imagine being delivered from that burden. Christ has already done that. What peace there is there. And then the joy that we have in fellowship one with another, and the preservation that we have in following God's moral code, it'll preserve us from many things, won't it? And by the way, I think it does get better, but I want you to know you're never going to get over that. You're never going to get over the burden of having to corral your flesh. You want to know when you're going to get over the burden of having to control your flesh to keep it from doing stupid stuff? You don't know when we plant you. That's when you get over that. Sister Minor and I were talking about that today. This morning when they first got here. We had a little theological discussion. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, the child of God just gets better and better and better and better, and he just gradually gets sanctified better and better and better until finally he's just, you know. And she said, well, I sure wish it were that way. And I do too. But God didn't design that way. Children of God get lost. Children of God get tangled up. Satan's going about seeking to destroy children of God. Now, y'all listen to me. He can't take a one to hell, but he can sure wreck their lives. And he does wreck their lives. I wonder, do they need anything? Can we save them all? No, we can't save them all. Can we help them all? No, we can't help them all. But let's don't use that as an excuse to do nothing. Amen. Okay? Okay. God has always expected His people to share the truth with the society in which they live. Always. God even expected Old Testament Israel to share the truth with the Gentiles that were around them. Did y'all know that? Now they got haughty and high-minded. The Old Testament Israelites, they said, well, we've got it. Nanny, nanny, poo-poo. We've got it and you don't. God chose us and He didn't choose you. Nanny, nanny, poo-poo. That's what their attitude. We've got it and you can't have it. That's death in the pot for a church to have that attitude. If we've got anything that's worth having, it's worth sharing. It's worth sharing. Sow the seed beside all waters. Wherever you can. I wrote something down. If a church thinks only of itself, of its own members, and never thinks of God's children who are outside the camp, that church is not fulfilling its God-given role as a church. Now, churches must not be self-centered, we must be other-oriented. Am I saying, I want to rightly divide this, y'all listen, there's a special connection, a special fellowship within a local assembly. That's why if you're not a member, you should become one. Today! Then it's indescribable! And there'll be people that are not your blood kin that'll be so close to you, they're like your blood kin. Are you with me? I know that. And I love this church, and I love being here and being among you, and I don't want to be anywhere else and all that. But y'all, there's times we've got to go outside the camp. Strengthen the cords. Stretch forth your stakes. Make room for more. This is the vision of what our church ought to be. Or to put it another way, there's people out there that need us, and we need them. Okay, I want you back up to 126th Psalm. I want two verses in the 126th Psalm. And I'm going to give you some specifics here in a minute. I'm going to have to hurry here a little dab. Have I told you lately that I love you, Point Remove? Have I told you lately that I love you? You are my people. I'm so crazy about you. I'm so crazy about you. Listen to this. David mentions the same kind of thing in the Psalms. 126th Psalm, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And there's that sowing again. A nice little simple agricultural metaphor. Sowing seed. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, what I've been describing about how our hearts should hurt for God's little children that are lost is, I think, what he means, sowing in tears. But they that do that are going to reap the crop. In other words, if you sow, and by the way, you only reap where you sow. I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I know that much. Right? I mean, I'm not going to... Brother Harold plants his garden over there on East J Street, and he never does come to my backyard to reap it. Are you with me? You reap where you sow. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. In other words, what I think that means is when we've sowed the seed, and when the crop comes forth, and when there's reaping done, there's joy as a result of the reaping, even though it was hard work, very hard work maybe. And when we were sowing, it was a sorrowful thing because our hearts were broken for the little children of God that are so hurt. But if you've ever had a part in the conversion of some person, you know the joy that comes. You know the joy that comes when your sowing brings forth fruit in reaping. You know the joy that comes in seeing the child of God realize the truth of God and come to some faith and some understanding and some peace and some joy that they never had before because they understand something about the truth of God's word. You know what I'm talking about? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Isn't that something? This metaphor that's in there. Precious seed. How precious is the seed that God is calling on us to sow? How precious is it? I'm going to tell you, it's one of the most precious commodities on planet Earth. The gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about according to God's word, not a man-made approximation. Are you with me? Not a man-made approximation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is one of the most precious things in the world. It will save you like nothing else will save you. Psychology won't do it. Psychiatry won't do it. Sigmund Freud, are you kidding? His real name should be Sigmund Fraud. Are you kidding? Okay, don't want to get started on that. Not going to do you any good. The gospel of Jesus Christ will save you. It won't imprison you. Are you with me? The gospel of Jesus Christ will not imprison you. It will save you. It will save God's children. He that goeth forth and weepeth, that is, I think that's that attitude again. Our heart's broken. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Notice what he's doing, bringing his sheaves with him. So there's a return on your investment. Now you may say to me, I can hear you, I can just hear you. Well, I've shared the truth and it didn't have any effect. That's true. Sometimes that happens. Let's confess it. And I'm going to, that's true. Isn't that right? And maybe sometimes we share the truth and it brings forth fruit that we don't see. Brother Harold told me years ago that you also have to wait to reap. You don't. I bet your Brother Harold has never gone out there and plant the G90 and go out the next day to reap it. It takes a while, doesn't it? Brother Gary, you may preach sermons and you may never see the end result of it. You may never see the fruit born. Say amen. Amen. That's just the way it is. But we need to realize that there is going to be return on our investment when we sow beside all waters. When we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, we will return with rejoicing, bearing our sheaves with us. Now in the parable of the sower, not all of the seed that was sowed brought forth fruit. And y'all listen, every place that's described in the parable of the sower, I think it's Matthew 13, you know, on the rocky ground, the thorny ground, all that, all those are children of God, representations of the seed being sown in the heart of a child of God, and then Satan comes and snatches it away, or the cares of this world choke it out, and various different things cause it not to bring forth fruit. Y'all remember that, don't you? So I know that not every time we sow seed is it going to bring forth fruit. I know that's even biblical. But I also know that in the good ground, the seed sown brought forth fruit. Now I ask you, would the seed have brought forth fruit if it had never been sown in the good ground? Obviously not. So we kind of got to sow beside all waters, so that some of the seed we sow will land on good ground. Are you with me? And then when the fruit is born, we come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? And even among, and back to the parable of the sower, one more little point on that. And even among the good ground, on the good ground where the fruit was born, you know, sow the seed on the good ground, and the seed sprouts and puts down roots and brings forth fruit. But even in that case, even in the good ground, all of the seed did not bring forth the same amount of fruit. Y'all remember that? Some brought forth 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So it sounds to me like even among children of God, where the seed is sown and it brings forth fruit, they don't all arrive at the same level. The idea that all Christians arrive at a level, a predetermined level, is erroneous according to the Scripture. That's just not right. And sometimes, let's face it, we don't all arrive at the right level because we don't try hard enough. That's hard, isn't it? That's just mean. But it's also true. We don't arrive at the level we could arrive at because we don't try hard enough. Me too. So I know not everywhere we sow seed is it going to bring forth fruit. And even when it does bring forth fruit, it may not always be equal. But the Lord is giving us the privilege of being able to sow seed for Him. And as I said last Sunday, I think the Sunday before that, what's the difference one more time between a privilege and a duty? What is it, congregation? Your attitude toward it. Every husband should consider it a tremendous privilege to look after his wife.
Amen.
Say amen, men.
Amen.
Now, you women, now I want you women to say amen after I say this. Every wife should consider it a tremendous privilege to look after her hairy-legged husband.
Amen.
That is a recipe for a wonderful marriage. Isn't it? Guess where I got that? I didn't get it from Sigmund Freud. I get it from Ephesians 5. And describing how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is not talking about Christ dying for the whole family of God. That's talking about him living his life to establish the church in Jerusalem. He gave himself every day for his bride on this earth. That is what that's talking about. And he's the prime example of what we husbands ought to be like. And if you ladies want to know the prime example of what you ought to be like, I cannot believe I'm even talking about this. This will get you stoned. Yeah, I would be fired. I would not receive tenure if I were saying this as a college professor. My tenure would be... That'd be that. But the example for a lady is that hard-working woman in Proverbs 31.
That's right.
And by the way, she did bring in income into that household. You go read it carefully. She brought income into that household. She worked outside the house a little bit. Yes, she did. Go read it. That blew my mind here a while back. But she's all the time looking after her little flock. Now that brings me, let me just share some stuff here with you. I think it's obvious we should be sowing seed beside all waters. What do you think? Evangelism, reaching out, outreach, whatever we can do. That's biblical. I'm not talking about being crazy. We are not going to have a rock and roll band here Sunday. Thank you, Sister Anita. Did y'all hear what Sister Anita said? She said, praise the Lord when I said that.
Amen.
Now, I like rock and roll. I hate to confess that. I like it. I do. I like it. I like Journey, and I like Boston, and I like Queen. I know. Hang my head in shame. I might can help it, but I don't try too hard. But that's, what kind of music does God want in his worship? Not what kind I want. What kind does God want? Remember that? This is not about us. This is about God. It's about Christ. We're here to honor God, honor Christ. Right? I mean, I'm almost in Boston, and I like to ride with Seth when I listen to Boston so I can turn it up because Becky can't stand it. I know, that's terrible. But this is not the place for that. What kind of singing did they have in the first century? What kind of singing did God mandate even in the Old Testament scriptures? Why am I saying, I don't have any idea. Okay, all right. We're to sow the seed. Broadcast it. Get it out there ever how we can. Now, I said that because by whatever rules God allows, not breaking God's rules. We're not going to break God's rules to do this, right? And we're not going to sow the wrong kind of seed, I trust. We want to sow that precious seed. Not the seed mixed with tares, but that precious seed. Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here are a couple of pointers as I close. Number one, pray for doors of opportunity in your personal life. And the point removed, we need to be doing what we can. And of course, this does involve missionary work in foreign countries, helping pay the way for those men to do that. Of course, it involves that. It involves the website. It involves whatever we can do on a local level here. It involves the preacher's meetings. It even involves raising men up like John Staton, training them at the local level so that they can go pastor churches elsewhere. It even involves that. And I thank God that point removed is willing to do that. Go through the ordeal of John Staton being here. Well, ordeal. That sounded terrible. I didn't mean like it was terrible. That sounded awful. That was the wrong word. To go through the process of having John Staten here and him growing up in grace and knowledge of the truth and being ordained and then going to pastor a church, that's exactly right. That's sending forth oxen. That's part of it too. And I thank God Paul Ramu has been involved in these things. But on the personal level, pray for open doors of opportunity. When the door opens, step through it. Because I don't know about you, but I'm bad about the door. And I know the door just opened. The door opens, and I say, okay, Lord, you just opened that door. And I just stand there and I look. Did y'all ever do any of that? There's room for improvement in us all. At inviting the unchurched and unsatisfied to Point Remove. Amen? And I can't believe... Well, okay, all right. Number three. So, pray for doors of opportunity. When the door opens, walk through it. You know, we've not been good at this, have we? We've not been good at this. And the reason we're not good at this is because we say, well, it's not going to work. I've tried it before and it doesn't work. Well, maybe it did work. Maybe there was some soap. And I'm bad about that. I do it too. See, I read in the Gospels where a man gets up, preaches one sermon, and a bunch of people join the church after one sermon. Well, I'd like some of that. Preach one sermon, a bunch of people join the church, commit their lives to Christ after one sermon. What? Well, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you got to sow the seed. Sometimes it takes a while for it to germinate. Jesse Stripling tells me different seeds take longer to germinate. I don't know. I'm dumb when it comes to that. Pray for doors of opportunity. When they open, step through them. Leave the results to God. How hard is that? That's one of the hardest things for me. Leave the results to God. Right? I say, I think I can do a better job of convicting people than the Holy Spirit. Boy, you know? Number three, pray that God will continue to raise up laborers to go into his harvest. You know one thing that's breaking my heart about Steve Jackson being in Houston for months? Who's going to preach to the church of Fort Smith? That's just killing me. Who's going to preach to that bunch over there? Pray that God will raise up laborers to go into... I tell you right now, the fields are waiting to harvest. We just need laborers to go into the field. And by the way, that's not just preacher laborers. Did you know you can reach people that I can't reach? There are people in your... that you might have a chance to talk to, minister to, whatever, that I will never meet unless you bring them. That's pressure, isn't it? Quickly. Most important, one of the most important things is we need to evangelize our own children. Evangelize your children. Teach them. If you don't, somebody's going to. The educational system is going to teach them more malarkey. Whose job is it to counteract that? Parents have to evangelize their children. Teach them in the home. Read Deuteronomy chapter 6. It talks about talking about God when you rise up, going to bed, sitting down, eating supper, doing all this. Let God bring God up every chance you get. Now be careful because you know you'll exasperate your sons like I exasperated mine. I guess you can't overdo it. Seth and John said, Dad, not everything has to be a lesson. You don't have to, not everything has to be an object lesson. Touche. So don't be as bad as I am, but teach the Word of God. Put it in the hearts of your children. Start out with the simple Bible stories. Who did swallow Jonah? Okay, I thank you for your great attention. You're an outstanding, phenomenal congregation. Let us look at, let's do There is a Fountain. Number 124 is our invitation. If you want to join the church, now's your chance. Put your life in Christ. Take up the cross, fall into water, baptism. If you haven't done that, you need to.